Last time we were together, we began a study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to begin today, we're going to look at the first fruit of the Spirit that's mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5, which is, we'll turn to Galatians 5, is love. Galatians chapter 5. We see verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we're going to look at that first spirit, fruit of the Holy Spirit today, which is love. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for the salvation you've freely given each every one of us through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray if there's a lost soul listening today, that they would realize that they're a sinner as a result of their sin on their way to hell, but that from a heart of faith, they'll call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just trusting in only his shed blood to save them from going to hell and secure them a home in heaven and forgive them of all their sins, past, present, and future. Father, we pray you'd bless the listener today, help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that everything that's said and done today would be pleasing in thy sight. We commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, why is love mentioned in the fruit of the Spirit? Well, because God is love. Amen? God is love. We see that in... If you'll turn with me to the first epistle of John, the first epistle of John with me. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the words of God say this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then we read in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Whatever love is, it is what God is. Again, the words of God say in 1 John chapter 14, verse 16, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, because God is love, this is also what we are to be in this world. Looking in 1 John again, chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Because God is love, we are to be as he is in this world. In the context, this verse takes on a new meaning for many of us, does it not? When a Christian does not love, he is not being God-like, and that's very just plain and simple. If a Christian does not love, he's not being God-like, plain and simple. Now, what kind of love does the Holy Spirit produces fruit? This kind of love focuses on the loved, not the lover. The love is totally unselfish, not self-centered, not focused on you, but on others. You see, this love is humanly impossible to produce because we all have fallen human natures, as we saw that in our last lesson. As a human, you can have love as a brother has for a brother. As a human, you can have love that is more of a lust. Only as a surrendered Christian can you have real love that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Now we ask the question, does the Bible describe this kind of love? And the answer is yes, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So I turn your attention now to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, amen, is a description of love. And since God is love, it is also a description of the character of God. The word God uses to describe love is charity. And you may ask, why the word charity? Well, because love is often mistaken as a feeling. However, charity always refers to love in action. For example, giving to others. Hollywood's idea of love is often sentimental slobber, infatuation, or plain lust, since its focus is on self and not others, or on getting instead of giving. Amen? Love is not accidental, my friend. You don't fall in love, you fall downstairs. Love is the act of the will, therefore it is commanded. Love involves commitment. Turn with me to Matthew 22 for a moment. We'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians 13, but Matthew 22, in verses 36 to 40, Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. We read this, and the words of God say this: Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We are commanded to love. Love always pays a price. Love costs something. Love is expensive. Look at in John's Gospel chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See what it cost God because he loved us? His only begotten Son was given. His only begotten Son's life was given for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so we could stand righteous in the presence of God, justified, amen, so that we could have a home in heaven. And then in Romans chapter 5, in Romans 5 with me, in verse number 8, Romans 5, 8, the words of God say this: But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, love is expensive. It cost God his only Son. I ask you the question, are you a loving person? Let's go back down to 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and read these verses. And substitute your name, each place the word charity is used. How well do these characteristics apply to you? First of all, we see that going back to 1 Corinthians 13 with me, let's go there. The first thing we want to see here about charity, love in action, amen, is found in verse 4. It says that charity is patient. It says, charity suffereth long. See? Even when you feel like complaining or retaliating, amen. See? Charity is willing to suffer pain in trials, a long time without resentment. Love does not fret. And then we see in that same verse 4, it says, charity is kind. See, charity is kind. Charity is kind even when you feel like retaliating or speaking badly about another. Love is not hurtful, but helpful, courteous. Love says please and thank you. Love doesn't get nasty. Amen. As we continue, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says that charity is not envious. It envieth not. Charity is not envious of other people when they are getting more attention than you. Love rejoices when others are blessed. And then we see that charity does not brag or show off. It says, charity vaunteth not itself. So charity does not brag or show off, even when you feel like telling everybody about your achievements. Love deflects praise towards another. Love is not pushy. Love, my friend, is never, ever vain. And then we see that it says there in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says that charity is not puffed up. In other words, charity is not conceited, proud, self-assertive, or bossy, or overbearing, even when you feel you are right and everyone else is wrong. Love doesn't act as though you're better than another, see? Love, my friend, is humble. And then we see in verse 5, it says about charity. It says in verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemingly. So what it's saying here is, charity always acts in good taste. Love conforms to what is right and appropriate. Love is never rude. Love is never rude, indecent, or unmannerly. Love shows respect. Amen. And then we see in verse 5 something else about charity or love. It says, seeketh not her own. Charity doesn't demand its rights, even when you feel like you've been violated. Love is unselfish. Love is others-oriented. Amen? We see in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 2 and 3, we read this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See? And then as we see that charity seeketh not her own. And then we see also in verse 5 that charity is not easily provoked. Charity, you see, is not irritable. Even when you feel someone has failed to meet your expectations. Love is not touchy and is not offended. And then we see in verse 5 it says about charity, thinketh no evil. Charity is not critical nor takes an account a wrong suffered. Amen. Love is not vindictive. It holds no grudges. Love keeps no record or wrongs. Love covers a multitude of sins. Looking in 1 Peter with me, what it says in 1 Peter in chapter 4, verse 8, that goes along with this here, it says, 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You see, love doesn't stew over the past. Love forgives. Love forgives. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. Amen. See? It forgives. It doesn't retaliate. It doesn't stew over wrong, over the past. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me for a moment, as we look at some verses in connection with this that reinforce what we're saying here. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 17 to 21, the words of God say this: Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And then one last cross-reference I want us to look at it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 15 together. We read this: See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good among yourselves into all men. Amen. As we continue to look at charity, we see there in verse 6, it says about charity, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Charity hates to see anyone sin. Love gets no enjoyment from sin, even when someone else is doing it. Do you enjoy TV programs or literature that glorify immoral living? See, love grieves over sin. And then we see again in verse 6 about charity, rejoiceth in the truth. Charity is honest and truthful. Even when it would be easier or more profitable to lie, love rejoices in the promotion of truth. Beware of anyone who doesn't love the preaching of the word of truth. And then in verse 7, we're told about charity. Charity does not collapse under stress. It beareth all things. Even when you feel like everything is going wrong, love sustains, love bears no malice towards others who are difficult or antagonistic. Let's look at 1st at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 with me, if you would. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Words of God say this: With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, charity beareth all things. And then in Colossians chapter 3 with me, in verse number 13, we read this: Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then we see again about charity in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Charity believeth all things. Charity is trusting, not suspicious. Love gives people the benefit of the doubt and looks for the best in people. Amen. And then we see in verse 7, we're told about charity. Charity hopeth all things. Charity never gives up hope, even when in a situation looks hopeless. You see, we see also that in verse 7, that charity endureth all things. Charity doesn't quit. Even when you feel like quitting, love is a survivor. Love is durable. Love remains standing when everything else has fallen. You see, charity, we're told, never faileth. Charity finds a way to succeed, even when you feel overwhelmed and doomed to fail. You know, we said, as we go through each one of these things about charity, we ask the question, are you a loving person? To put your name in each place where it says the word charity, how well do these characteristics apply to you? Amen. We've seen about charity, that charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not, charity is not puffed up, charity doth not behave itself unseemingly, charity seeketh not her own, charity is not easily provoked, charity thinketh no evil, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, charity rejoiceth in the truth, amen. And charity, as we saw, amen, charity beareth all things, charity believeth all things, charity hopeth all things, charity endureth all things, charity never faileth. How loving are you, my friend? Can you honestly say that you are patient with people? Amen. You know, there are plenty of people out there that are very easy to love and not so easy to love. Are you patient with those that are not easy to love? Amen. Well, charity is. Are you kind and considerate of the needs of others? Or are you selfish and always put yourself first? Charity is kind and considerate of the needs of others. Are you envious and covetous of what others have or do? Amen. Instead of rejoicing for them that they're being blessed. Well, charity is not envious or covetous of what others have or do. Can you say, I'm not one to tell others of all the things I've accomplished? Amen. Are you one that likes to toot his own horn all the time and tell everybody how marvelous and great you are? Charity doesn't do that. Are you humble? Can you say, I'm humble? I'm not talking about this false humility, going around telling everybody, I'm humble, you know. I care about others. I'm talking about humble. Quiet humbleness. People can see that you're humble just the way you act and the way you conduct your affairs and live your life. Can you say, I'm not rude, but I show respect? Amen. Can you say that honestly? Are you rude at times and you don't give people the respect that they deserve, even if they don't deserve it? Amen. Charity does. Can you say, I'm not selfish? Can you say that? Again, you're always putting yourself before others. Making sure you're taken care of. Making sure that you have more than you need. Well, charity, which is love in action, by giving to others, which is a fruit of the Spirit. See, maybe you're not yielded to the Spirit of God in your life. That's why you don't have this charity we've been talking about, this love that's described here in 1 Corinthians 13. Can you say, I'm not easily irritated? Are there people out there to get under your skin? Amen. that irritate the heck out of you? Well, charity is not easily irritated. Charity's long-suffering, puts up with a lot. Amen. Can you say, I am not vindicated, but forgiving? Can you say, I'm not vindicated, but forgiving? Charity can. I mean, do you feel like even though you've been wrong and you haven't been vindicated, you still can't forgive? Charity can. Charity can, even though it's not, person has charity, even though they've not been vindicated, they still can forgive the offending party. Can you say, I'm grieved over sin? Amen. Can you say I'm grieved over sin? Charity does. Charity can. If you have charity, produce the fruit of the Spirit, love, charity. You hate it when someone sins. Or another brother and sister of Christ fall into temptation or sin. Remember what it says in Galatians? What our attitude is to be? We shouldn't be happy that they've fallen. But it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See? You could be the one that has sinned. You could be in their place. You should grieve over their sin. True charity does that. Can you say I'm not deceitful? That you're honest about all things. Charity. If you have charity, if you have love, you can. Are you? Can you say, I don't get stressed out? All of us get stressed out, amen. But charity produces that when you come under fire, tribulation, whatever it may be, pressure, that you don't have to get stressed out. You turn it over to God. Amen? You suffer it. God gives you the strength to do that. Can you say, I give people the benefit of the doubt? Amen. Or do you already say guilty? Guilty is charged. Instead of trying to look for the best in them and give them another chance. Charity will do that. We'll give people the benefit of the doubt. Can you say, I don't think anything is hopeless? Charity can. Maybe you've given up. Maybe there's some people you've given up on. Friends, family, acquaintances. Charity won't do that. Charity won't give up on that individual. We'll go the second mile with them. Can you say, I'm not a quitter? Charity can. If you have charity, then you cannot be a quitter. But are you quitting? You giving up? Have you given up serving God because of whatever? The pressures, the way your family, the society is, and so forth and so on? Charity is not a quitter. Not a quitter in serving God or serving people and trying to help people. And finally, can you say, I always seek to find a way to make something wrong? Charity does. Do you do that? Do you not give up? You keep trying to make something work? Amen. So how loving are you? You need to ask yourself. If you yield to the Spirit of God, you're producing the fruit of the Spirit. And one of them is love. Charity, which is love in action, giving, serving others. Jesus Christ is our greatest example. Is he not? Well, so we've completed the first fruit of the Spirit, love. We'll continue our series of studies on the fruit of the Spirit as we meet next time. Amen. And I pray you'll join us, continue to join us for our series of studies on the Holy Spirit of God, on the fruit of the Spirit that's produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Until we meet again, my friend, thank you for listening. And my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.